5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
But they were very ruthless.
Put moron number two on the phone.
And they had no roofs.
Shut up, Billy.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime. Listening to the Rush Hour.
Yes, we certainly do. And a really nice show assembled for you Tuesday. Steel Sidebottom will join us shortly.
Oh, good. I'm looking forward to this.
So am I. We need some answers from the great man.
Had 400 at his wedding.
500 or 600 and couldn't get an invite for the great man, Daisy Thomas. Marcus Harris will join us as well to talk all things Aussie cricket after the announcement of the Test and One Day teams. Ash Barty, if you don't mind, Bill.
Oh, yes.
Also, we'll go to the Herald Sun again for another fan poll. We'll round the day out with a joke as I welcome Anthony William Brownless.
Hello, Daisy. Welcome back again. What time's Ash on today, please? About
5:30 or just after.
Beautiful. Is she the most loved Australian?
She's hard not to like.
Oh, exactly. So got some questions for her.
More good.
What's your favourite memory? When you think Ash Barty, what do you think?
Probably that little photo of her as a little girl that gets posted around everywhere.
With the
holding
trophy.
The trophy. Yeah. She looks that cute.
Yes. Oh, I think having a beer.
Oh, at the footy?
At the footy, yes.
We can talk all these things.
And maybe playing tennis.
She's pretty good at that.
Hello, Ramsey.
In he comes, Boland. Bowls and nicks, and he's gone!
Six sooner later! Robinson! Robinson on your bike! And Boland has 6 for 5 of 20 deliveries! And England, 1 wicket away from going 3-0 down in the Ashes.
How good was that?
6 for 5 off 20 deliveries. He just roll in and get another wicket. Was a nick third slip?
Unbelievable it was. Plenty of cricket news too.
Yes, plenty of cricket on Triple M this summer as well.
Absolutely.
Kick it off next week with the ODI against England in Adelaide.
Wowee.
Listener app and on Triple M.
Might ask Marcus about Scott
Boland. You certainly
Boland.
Can. Now time, Bill, if you wouldn't mind for a little.
Whap, 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 whap.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Hey, nice little rappy rap, 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 rappy.
It's Billy's All Sports Report. Don't risk missing all your team's matches of the T20 World Cup on KO Sports.
Good friends at KO, they love it. Don't worry
about
that.
Don't know you can be going with what
was there
you just
an R
did.
In there?
No. Hey, yes, I just thought of what it is. That's all right. That's why you two youngins.
Yeah, we had a giggle.
Yeah.
Yep, very good. Anyway.
Great news for a couple of good old boys at the Melbourne Football Club.
Yes.
Michael Hibbert, one of our...
The pig.
Yeah, the pig and the snake.
Jakey Melksham
have signed on for another year.
That
Thanks,
is good
Wabby.
News.
Sign on for
that is very good news for them because
great news.
You need wise heads around footy clubs, Bill. And those two were questioned whether they'd probably go on or not, but both played good enough footy late in the season to go on and do it and play a role for the club going forward.
Down back and Snakey kicked a couple of goals.
He
looked
good.
Dangerous there at one stage, didn't he?
Dangerous in front of Entrecote too, apparently.
Scary.
Sam Simpson, who's down there at the Cattery, he's had a lot of bad luck with injuries and had concussion this year. The son of Sean, Sauce, we call him.
Yep.
Don't think anyone's called him Sauce. But anyway, he's signed a one-year deal too.
Is that bulb head or narrow head?
No, it's narrow.
Narrow.
Paul Brown's bulb
head. Is he socks up? Is
his sock? Yes. Spot on.
One of only
Always
a few.
Has his socks up. Mm. And got a nice little
shimmy.
Yeah.
Sidestep.
That's it. That's what he's got. Hey, what about a bit of controversy with the AFLW semi-final this weekend between Richmond and North Melbourne? Some thought they should go to Icon Park where it holds a nice crowd, maybe, I don't know, 10 or 14,000. But Richmond said, no, we're going to play it at Punt Road, which only holds 2,500 people. Sold out. The tickets are...
exhausted.
Yeah.
Not great for radio,
but
for those listening along, Bill just played dead.
Yeah.
He looked tired.
140 on Saturday they play. Already done.
As a Geelong fan,
yes.
And with the option, I know you don't have it because the AFL don't allow it, but if you did with the new stadium, would you take the home ground advantage over the dollars of tickets?
So who are you playing?
It doesn't really matter. Would you?
Yeah.
Home ground advantage or extra pennies?
Well, Geelong tried it, remember, against Freo and they got beaten. So, but the money is a lot, especially to Geelong or someone like that. So you'd look at the money. There's no doubt about that.
Righto. Simple yes or no would have been fine.
I'd yes, Daisy.
Good.
I'd say yes.
Okay.
Yes. Cricket. Oh, the Australian squad for the West Indies Test match has been announced. Only 13.
Yeah.
Very skinny, narrow sort of a squad there. Pat Cummins as captain, and the two newcomers, well, it's all the test team, so it's not the one day, it's the test team, if we remember, Alex Carey is the keeper there, but the, what do they call him? The reserve batter is our man, Marcus Harris.
Brilliant.
I know, so we're talking.
He's coming up.
He is, that'd be good.
You wouldn't read about it.
And the reserve bowler?
Who?
The old 6 for 5 off 20 delivery, Scott Boland.
He's the reserve bowler.
He's in the test squad.
He's tough to get a start in that side.
Good on him. Two tests against the West Indies. And then they've also announced a one-day squad there. 3 one-days against England. And
another test series against another mob?
Yes, South Africa.
And you can hear it all on the listener app and on Triple M.
On Triple M.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Lara.
Yep.
Saw him Saturday in the Birdcage.
Did you? Did he see you and what were you getting up to?
Nothing.
Did he congratulate you?
No.
Well wish you?
He'd have no idea, Brian Lara, but he was going well.
Anything else from the rapid?
The All-Australian?
Oh, yes, let's go.
For the AFLW, 42 players have been named there. When's their Brownlow night?
Coming up.
Coming up, righto. And they haven't got a name for it yet, have we? We need a name for the
AFL. I think it's just League Best and Fairest, I believe.
Righto. So what else have I got here? The Socceroos World Cup squad is out.
Oh, yeah.
3 goalkeepers have been named, and not one of them is Mitch Langerak.
Okay.
He's a very good. He's not in the squad,
really?
Which is very interesting. Redman is. Redmayne, sorry. Mm-hmm.
The Wiggle.
Matty Ryan, yes, and Danny Vedovic.
Vukovic.
Vukovic. They're all there, the World Cup. Hey, that'll be good over there in Qatar, November 20.
Sorry?
Middle East. Qatar or Qatar? How do you say it?
No, go
Qatar. Again.
Qatar or Qatar?
It doesn't have a G.
It's not a guitar. All right, Qatar.
Qatar.
It's a Q.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, November 20 World Cup. There'll be 1.2 million visitors going to watch the World Cup over there. They've built this magnificent stadium. You've seen it? You had a good look at what
they
built?
I haven't had a good look at it, but I will.
Mm. And the main sponsors, it's interesting because they don't drink over there unless you're in a nice restaurant. But guess who one of the main sponsors is?
I'm going to go with an alcohol company.
Of the World Cup soccer.
Heineken?
Budweiser.
Ooh, an American company.
So there are booze areas before and after the games now, which is interesting. So they've come along and said, no, we need some frothies drunk. That's why we're sponsoring the bloody cup. So we need a couple of buds.
Correct.
So that is it for a little wappy there.
Well, there's a wappy. And coming up, Bill, we know we need to get to the bottom of this. My old teammate, Steelside Bottom, had the biggest wedding you've ever seen.
Yes.
And we need to ask him some questions about why I didn't get an invite.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
A budding genius and a blooming idiot. And guess which one I am.
And right now, Daisy, we're joined by your premiership teammate, Steel Sidebottom.
Our next guest has always been crafty.
Just debated if got around Gibson, put it on Sidebottom.
But can he talk his way out of not inviting Daisy Thomas to his wedding?
Biggest wedding of the year and I didn't get an invite.
So if you get married...
Yeah.
Will you invite Steel?
Absolutely not.
Please welcome, from Collingwood, Steel Sidebottom.
The most complete player bins I've ever seen, listen. Left or right side. One of my best mates of all time that I've ever had.
Yes.
Thoroughly enjoyed my time with him at the Pies and post then as well. And, well, you asked some questions about me, but I think they were ill-directed. So we've got the man himself, Steel Sidebottom, on the line, and you can take it from here.
Sidey, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Where are you? Where do we find you, Sidey?
A honeymoon, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm on honeymoon at the moment. I'm just at the Halcyon House here in Cabarita, I think it is, on the beach here. So been here for a few nights, kid-free, so it's been nice.
Oh, wowee. And nice little price tag goes with that, Sidey.
Yes, you're right. A few vouchers along the way.
Hey, now, you're there, of course. Obviously got married last week. So one of the big weddings of the year, no doubt about
Massive
that.
Massive it was, Bill.
And you've been through a lot, Sidey, with Daisy, of course. I think you played 5 seasons together, so 100-odd games. You're premiership players. You've done a lot together. You'd have a special bond with Daisy, I would have thought, Sidey.
Yeah, for sure, Bill.
How many jab at the wedding? 200 or 300?
Yeah, not quite 200, but pretty close.
Yeah, 250, good. And then Taylor Adams were there, Jordan DeGoey, Jeremy Howe, Ben Crocker, Levi Greenwood, Nathan Buckley, Ryan and Nathan Loney, Shannon Cox, Jack Anthony. So they're all there. Everyone was there except one. Daisy Thomas.
It's fair enough too, Bill, because I have moved house a couple of times in the last year or so. So
no. you're assuming you got an invite.
I just haven't checked that redirected some in the mail.
I don't think there was an invite for Daisy, was there, Steele?
No, I reckon Daisy might be right. I reckon I must have sent it to his old friend.
Bill, flummoxed by this. Yes. Not only he said he's kid-free, what's your daughter's name, Sidey?
Matilda.
What's my daughter's name, Sidey?
Tilly.
Yeah, Matilda. So you've stolen that off me.
Yes.
If you have a look at his career, Copeland Trophy winner 2017-2018, yes. All-Australian 2018, Gary Ayres medal 2018, second place in the Brownlow. All done after I left that club.
Yeah.
So I provided space for him to blossom as a person and as a player, selflessly went across to the enemy, copped all the heat just so he could become a better person and a better player. So, and this is the bloody thanks I get.
What happened? He was next, I assume, was he?
Yeah, he was. Look, it's you've caught me a bit off guard. He sort of just slipped through the cracks, I think. as soon as he left the Pies and went to the Blues, I think that was a line through Daisy's name.
Oh, good work. Well done. How many did you have there from Kangupna?
Probably 80% were all family, Bill. So there was a few from Tally and Shep. So we were lucky to get them all there with the floods and stuff that were going on.
Yeah.
But the wedding went ahead and it was a great time.
All the brothers rock up, did they?
All the brothers were there, yep.
You've seen them, Bill. They are a wild bunch and they love a bloody good time.
Would have been banjos and everything going on. Kangupna, I don't know if you've been there, Days. It's tiny little town out of Shepparton. Damien Drum is actually from Kangupna. You'd be related probably, would you?
Yeah, I think we are. Yep.
But I've said this to Sidey before, like, you know, the Geelong Cats or the Collingwood Magpies or Carlton Blues. Kangupna are the Kangupna Road.
Road.
Because that's
the road.
It's called the road, Kangupna Road. That's it. As in a road where you drive. So no animals.
I think, where the ground is, I think as simple as it is, there was a road that went where the ground is. Now we're called the Roaders.
Now, Sidey, I did see you at the Brownlow too. For those who didn't, and I'm not sure our interview actually made it to air, what sort of areas did you rock up into, and can you talk us through your wardrobe malfunction?
So obviously flew back from Sydney on the Saturday night, did nothing. Obviously, we'd lost that night, did nothing, and woke up quite keen to have a few beers, so probably had me first at about 9:30. And by the time, I got to the Brownlow about 5, I had all my suit and shirt and stuff all laid out. But being a bit of a tux, I didn't pack any buttons. So I had no cufflinks, no buttons. But managed to get through, which is all right.
So I mean, with the shirt, the tux shirt rocks up to the Brownlow. It's tucked in and holding together by his bow tie, and that's it. Absolute feral on the red carpet.
Kangupna all over it. Hey, mate, just a great year by Collingwood. You had a good year.
Yeah, we had a bloody unreal year, to be honest. Like every year, you sort of, there's only one winner at the end of the season, but from where we sort of come from and what we were able to do this year, it was an awesome year, yeah.
You're not in the urinal, eh?
No, I'm just sitting on the balcony here looking over the pool.
Oh, nice.
Probably about to have another stone and wood. So.
How old are you these days, Sidey?
31, Dave.
Oh, that's all right. So you're past 30.
And 289 games, so 11 more. Wow, 300 games. That'd be unbelievable, Sides.
Yeah, I might have a bit of a function after if you want to come, Bill.
Okay.
I was just plotting it just about how I could just start winding him up. Now I'm on the other side of the microphone. 30, past 30, some young kids coming through, keeping some kids out of the side there at the Pies.
Guess who won't get invited to his 300th game?
Well, we just got it. Yeah, he's inviting you, not me. That was the gag.
Yeah. Well, good gag. good work. So how long up there for and then back to Melbourne, yeah?
Yeah, so we come last Thursday. We come with Matilda. We left her in Byron with Alicia's parents. So we've come up here for a few days and then back to Byron tomorrow and back to Shep on Sunday. So good little trip away.
And I don't want to say it, but if it all sort of does go pear-shaped and there is a second wedding, is there a chance for Daisy at that one?
Anything's possible, Dave.
Awesome. Well, I'll hold you to that, mate. Hey, thanks very much for taking the time out to join us. Well done on the nuptials. Enjoy your time up there in Byron. And I'll catch you at the reunion on the 3rd of December for a couple of pots.
Ooh.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, Sidey.
Steel Sidebottom on the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I want to laugh with him, but I can only laugh at him.
Now, there has been a lot of flooding and a lot of natural disasters of late, which has meant a lot of things.
Still is.
And there still is, and we're very sensitive to the fact that a lot of people are doing it tough.
Yes.
But on the back of that as well, has meant there are shortages in a lot of fields and areas, mainly in the food criteria.
And supply and demand, prices go up.
Correct. So lately, we've seen one that came across. There's a shortage from the shelves has been wiped clear of crisps, chips, and also dim sims.
Potatoes. Yeah, so hence the chips.
And what did you say? And also dim sims.
Oh, no.
So a couple of my favourites being the dim sims, of course.
Yes.
So they've had to actually come out and make a statement of being good people there. It's Marathon, I think it is, dim sims. Supply update. Unfortunately, the recent flooding in Melbourne has impacted the manufacturing of our products, including well-loved dim sims, spring rolls, and puffy dogs.
Puffy dogs.
Little hot dogs wrapped in pastry. Absolute treat at your kid's birthday. Absolutely. So it's not great. And I know you're a big crisps man or chips man.
Well, I'm a chips man.
And a dim sim man.
Oh, wow.
Well, you could eat 10, couldn't you?
Well, fried straight out. They've got to come out of the fryer.
Mid-COVID, I was doing 12 in a sitting, hence why you start to look like a dim sim.
Exactly,
but
yes.
Not the point. They're bloody good.
They are good.
So
they
on the back of all this, yes, we are putting it out to the family, hence.
Hence.
What is a food that you could not live without?
What is a food you could not live without? I can tell you off the top.
Yep.
Steak.
Steak, yeah, very good one.
I got to have a steak. I got to have a steak 2 or 3 times a week.
Like the news of the news of the dim sims actually hurt me because I love a dim sim and I'm not having them as often anymore. But when you do have one, and now there's a variety too, the South Melbourne dim sims that are just up the road. How bloody good!
Bloody good!
Oh, outstanding! So
133353. What is a food you could not live without? And we must have some good prizes.
Yes, of course we do. A double pass to the Red Hot Summer Tour featuring Paul Kelly, Bernard Fanning, Missy Higgins and more at Mornington Racecourse Sunday, January 15. Tickets at Ticketmaster. And speaking of food, we've got a $100 grilled voucher to give away as well.
Oh, you couldn't live without grilled either.
No.
I'm a garlic bread man. I don't reckon I can live without garlic.
Garlic bread?
Oh,
love it. And the dirty one too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not the gourmet stuff.
No, not the gourmet. Get the gourmet. Out, gourmet. Out the dirty garlic bread.
Please. You can live without garlic bread.
No, you can't. 133353. What food can you not live without?
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Crocs are back.
They've always
they
been.
They say they're back.
Rolling blades.
Rolling blades.
We're talking about foods, Daisy, that you just can't live without.
We certainly are, and on the back of the shortages around the country because of the floods and everything that's going along with that. So dim sims and potatoes at the minute have not been great, which means we can't have them.
But even fries and chips, hot chips. I love hot chips.
Gnocchi. Potatoes. Yeah, gnocchi. Anywho, so we put it out to the family and the screens have lit
up.
They have. We start with Sarah in Vermont. Sarah?
Coles rum and raisin ice cream.
Straight into it.
From Coles?
Yes, their home brand one.
Their home brand one. Wow. What's it taste like?
Beautiful on a summer's day.
Rum and raisin.
And can't live without it. How long have you gone without it? What's the longest stint?
3 months.
Ooh. And then straight back into it, a full tub?
Full tub, and they've just come back, but they'll probably be out again because of the flood.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well done. Thank you, Sarah. Tom's there in Caulfield. Tommy, what can't you go without?
Yeah, g'day, lads.
G'day,
tuna cucumber sushi.
Tuna.
Hand rolls.
Oh. Well, you got a special spot?
Sushi, Glen Ferry Road.
I was there today, bro. How long have you gone without them? Have you had a stint often that just makes you know that you cannot live without them?
Yeah, so I just got back from living in the UK for 6.5 months, and that was too long. Been back for 2 weeks, and I've had them 10 days.
10 days.
Loves it, smashing it.
Well done, Tommy.
Another Tom down there in Geelong. Tell me, are you there?
Boys, how you going?
What's it like down there to be 28, 29 degrees down there? Beautiful, Tommy.
Oh, 35 down here, fat.
Good boy, Tommy. What can't you go without?
Can't go without eggs.
Eggs? How do you like them?
Oh, scrambled, poached, whatever.
Still eggs.
Still eggs, that's it.
How many would you have, Big Tommy?
Oh, sometimes five in a sitting.
Five. Good he work. Does love them.
Mm, yeah, no, I love them. You can't beat an egg and bacon.
Well, you can beat an egg. You get scrambled.
Oh, yeah, you can.
We go to Wayne in... Oh, no.
Yeah.
No one's talking about beetroot yet. We go to Wayne in Mount Martha.
Hey, boys. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And yourself?
Good, mate.
What can't you live without?
Can't go without the Zinger Burger with cheese.
Ooh. How often are you having it?
A few a week.
This actually affected you, didn't it? Because a couple of months ago, KFC went with cabbage instead of lettuce.
And what was that like?
Mate, just completely off them. It was killing me.
Oh, what?
Couldn't handle them.
Could you taste the difference, obviously, the cabbage and the lettuce?
100%. 100%. Wow. It was disgusting.
And did you give them away for a couple of weeks?
Yeah, 100%.
Just what did you go to? Did you find something else?
No, I just avoided it completely until it came back.
And now it's back, better than ever?
Now it's back, better than ever.
Oh, good on you. Well done, Wayno. Go to Andrew. G'day, Andrew.
G'day, how you going?
All right, how are you?
Yeah, no worries. I'm all good, but I couldn't go without Vegemite. I have every single date and I have everything I eat.
The Vegemite. Vegemite.
Can't beat it.
Vegemite, toast, and eggs, put it in mashed potato, put it in the stew.
He's got some Vegemite on his line at the moment.
Are you in a submarine, Andrew?
What's that, sorry?
Oh, you're better now. Mashed potato you put in.
Yeah.
Underneath your eggs.
Oh, jeez. That's commitment, though.
That is commitment.
And what's the longest you've gone without it?
Well, it's probably during COVID. It was a bit hard to get all the groceries. There isn't any ways behind that rubbish, so we didn't get it.
Yeah,
makes it tough.
Good on you, mate. Makes
certainly
it tough
does.
To
hear,
too.
We go to Dill now in Wallen.
Dilza.
Daisy, fat, how are we?
Good, Dilza. What can't you go without?
Cannot live without a hot dog in batter.
Ooh, you got a battered sav.
A battered sav, exactly.
Cannot go without one. I try them from everywhere. I have probably three or four a week.
Jeez.
And where's the best place?
The best one I've had so far is probably in my hometown, Wallen. They do a mean one.
Ooh, good joint.
So you'd be a fan
absolutely
of going,
unreal.
You'd be a fan of going to fairs and carnivals because they get rolled out heavily there.
Yeah, you get them on the old Dagwood dog on the stick. There you go.
Yes.
Dunk them in sauce.
Absolutely. Douse them in sauce, mate. They are delicious.
Dilza.
Loves it. Very good.
That is good. Well done.
A wide range there, too, from sushi to Dagwood dogs, Vegemite with mashed potato.
Ice cream, rum and raisin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know what I liked?
What?
Dylan.
Dilza at the end there.
Yeah, I did.
Good,
I like
good.
The,
very good.
Battered Sav or the Dagwood dog. Well done, Dilza.
Dilza, you got a double pass to the Red Hot Summer Tour, mate.
Oh, beautiful. Thanks, boys.
You're most welcome, Dilza. Thank you very much. And I'm going to go, Bill.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Tom in Caulfield, who's smashing 10 sushi in 14 days.
Well, you can change it up, Tommy, and get some grilled. You won't be able to resist their new mouth-watering salt, bush and pepper onion rings. They're 100% natural, gluten-friendly and vegan. You've got a $100 voucher there, mate.
Cheers, lads. Appreciate it.
Well done, mate.
No dramas. Very good, Bill. Nice.
Well done.
Now, there we go. Well, that's very good. We appreciate all the people calling in. And next, we have Rosie coming in with a little bit of feedback and maybe an activity tonight, Bill.
Activity.
Look out.
What about after five as well? Oh, Ash Barty's going to be on the show.
And Marcus Harris.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
The names just get bigger and bigger.
And me and you, Dave.
Hey, we're here. Speaking of spuds, and not a shortage in this room.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You must be embarrassed when you look back at that.
Not at all. I look in the mirror and I say, good on you, fat.
On Triple M's Rush Hour.
Bit of feedback from Hose Mary.
Yeah.
It's social media feedback.
Be more constructive with your feedback, please.
With
Aussie Supermole
Rosie Walton.
Hose, welcome.
Hi, Daisy.
Hi,
you
Rose.
Are fine today. You're in the clear. Nothing to be worried about.
Oh, good.
Appreciate it.
Me?
Yeah. Actually, it's not too bad. We had a bit of horsey chat in the last week or so. On Friday's show, according to Stephen Malley, you asked if there'd ever been a racehorse named after you, and you couldn't recall.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you asked, Bill.
I did, yeah. I posed the question.
Well, apparently in the 90s, the Geelong Footy Club had a racing syndicate with a number of horses named after Geelong players,
right.
Trained by Mark Bairstow.
Yeah, Toby, our captain at the time, was also a horse trainer, and hence he trained them.
And racing under the Geelong colours. One horse was named Brownless, and I know it won at least one race because I have a framed photo of it. in my garage.
Oh, there you go.
There we go. Wow.
So it was actually okay.
So there's like a little copy of it.
Give me a look. I want to see where it won. Give us a look at this. Oh, you need that bit of paper.
No, I need the bit of paper. Oh. I'll show you after the show.
Yeah, please.
So well done. You've got a horse called Brownless that had one win.
Might have been a Casterton or somewhere. I just would like to know. Good work. Yep.
Now, you've been asking, why do the horses run clockwise or anti-clockwise around Australia? Yeah, Jeremy Merton sent me a link. Wasn't quite what we were after, but I've done some other research. I don't know why I didn't think to do this beforehand, but anyway. So it's basically to do with colonisation. So each colony had its own rule, essentially.
Yes.
And then each country race would...
according
to the city one.
Yes.
So in New South Wales, they are clockwise.
Correct.
And Victoria, South Australia, Western Australia, Tasmania and the Northern Territory are anti-clockwise.
That's right.
And then apparently Flemington was anti-clockwise at the beginning, but then the outside of Melbourne races were going the other way and then they changed their mind.
Yeah, so they changed it. Okay.
So there's also in England, they have clockwise and anti-clockwise.
They do.
Ireland, they have both. France has both. New Zealand has both. South Africa has both. And Hong Kong are only clockwise.
You are.
Stop looking at me then.
No, but someone gave me a very good, and I can't find it, a DM me about why.
Yeah, okay. So there is a book called The History of Australian Thoroughbred Racing, and in volume one on page 232 by Andrew Lemon is where you can get the information.
I condensed it somewhat. Head to your local library, Bill.
Yes. No, I wouldn't know where that is.
Not surprising anyone.
It's a building with the books in it. Yes, absolutely. The State Library of Victoria is fantastic in the city.
Beautiful. And librarians?
Well, yes, you can't have a library without librarians.
Are they really quiet?
Check the Dewey Decimal System and all that sort of stuff.
Who did that?
Dennis Cometti.
He sure snuck up on him like a librarian.
Don't talk about that, though, because Nick Riewoldt doesn't like it. Anywho.
Now, Luke Galley was in a car with some mates.
Oh, Lukey boy.
And they must have been listening to a podcast. Looks like it's late at night, and I'm sure everybody's been responsible while they've sent us this video.
Yeah, of course.
But it's them enjoying the rush hour.
Rush hour. Shout out the king of the radio.
Have a listen.
They're having a great time.
Did you say they were being responsible?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Luke, for sending that. Now, Ethan put up a video that we stole from your daughter's Instagram of you dancing, I guess is one way to describe
moving.
It. Moving.
Dancing,
at the races on the weekend, and Ethan asked the question, what were you dancing to? Like, what sort of song? Lots of suggestions.
Country and Western.
BJ Dobb said the voice is in his head.
Is that bloke from Preston?
Yes, definitely.
The voice
That's
is in his head.
What you are. Moscow, was it?
Moscow.
The Baby Elephant Wart from MS Magpie. Probably Sweet Caroline. A lot of people have said.
Yes.
Fat Man's Scoop was a question. Horses was another question.
Oh, yeah.
But some of the ones that I really like, I need to play a bit of the song for you so we can understand it. From Blissful Blue, how about Toxic by Britney Spears?
No,
no.
Wasn't.
Okay, Bomber Photo said, what about It's Raining Men?
It's raining men, hallelujah.
There was a band playing, but I don't know what the song was.
Oh,
but
okay.
I just did a little jig.
Brandon Marvo sort of thought that maybe you had JB on your mind because it was the Kangaroos chant.
He'd be sitting there going, turn it up, Raps.
If there was a dance for that song, though, that your dance would have been it.
But the overwhelming response was, like your jokes.
I eat grass and a moo.
Oh, not this one.
Cow,
I've gone too early, sorry.
No, could have been that. I like that.
Yeah.
No, Woolly Bully was the number one suggestion. Actually, does work with that video.
That's better. Woolly Bully.
Jeez, we've heard that song a lot in the last couple of weeks, haven't we?
Thank you all for getting back to us on Triple M Rush Hour Instagram. Have we got time for a little mention about what James Brayshaw is up to?
Sure.
Or should I hold it till tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
We just got here at break. Question mark.
Or even maybe a song by Cold Chisel.
Oh. What country is he from?
Is he from? Yeah. Well, are you talking about Jimmy Barnes?
Say the word. Go on.
He was born in Scotland.
Say it.
Scotland.
Yeah. I said it. Glasgow, Edinburgh.
Thank you, Rosie. We'll find out what JB's been up to tomorrow over in Italy.
Oh.
Which is a great country, isn't it?
Steve Brax.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Good on you, Bill. That's camaraderie ship. They're right there in the room.
Camaraderie ship?
How's this for a second hour coming up, Fat? Marcus Harris to join us.
Who's in the test squad.
Certainly is. Ash Barty, if you don't mind.
Who's a bloody star.
Absolute superstar. Yep. Bigger than a star. And, of course, you'll round us out with a joke.
Two.
Two jokes.
Not one, but two.
Okay, so does that mean one of them is going to be absolute?
Exactly.
anywho. We yesterday went through, the Herald Sun provided some content, not only about you being at the races, but also about the best AFL callers.
They top 15.
Top 15 callers as voted by Scott Gullen. Gullen and also the fans.
And the readers.
Yes.
So Jared Waitley ended up being number one.
Waitley.
Yes. And Howie, number three for the readers there. Today, as you said, special comments.
So they moved on to the special comments. So they've gone from play-by-play to specials.
That's it.
I like this. So Scotty Gullen. This is heading.
Scotty Gullen, who writes for the Herald Sun.
He does.
So he's got Linger in at 15, Lee Matthews at 14.
Ooh.
At 11, Daisy.
Daisy.
Pierce. Yes.
Yes, well, that's all right. 11, Daisy Pierce at 11. So that's plenty of wiggle room here for Daisy.
10, Lordo, Matthew Lloyd. Yeah, I like Lordo.
And the Velvet Sledgehammer.
And then we go down to these others there. But 5, Bucks.
Ooh, special comments. One ahead of Bucks would be nice.
Mm-hmm. Nick Riewoldt at 4.
Okay, the Llama.
And then David King at 2.
So that means I'm either 3 or 1.
And the Chief.
Excuse me.
It's the Chief at 1. That's according to Scotty.
So who's at 3?
Who is it, 3? Jimmy Bartel or someone like
that. It was Jimmy.
Yeah. So that is Scotty's, okay? So Lee Matthews at 14. Who would you say? Who could you do it yourself?
And you do
a good job. You're not on Scotty's there.
I'm not sure where I've gone wrong there with Scotty, to be honest, because pound for pound, head to head against those blokes, analytically and in terms of seeing the game, I'd say I'm certainly up there.
But if you weren't...
I do like the Chiefs, so I think that one's fair, but also Lee Matthews. For someone who, obviously, the greatest to arguably ever play the game and also came up with the great analogy and system, minutes per goals, you're absolutely buggered, but he still sees the game as good as anyone.
Spot on, and when he talks, you listen.
Absolutely.
So, the readers. Here's the readers.
Good.
15, Daisy.
Daisy.
Pierce.
Okay.
14, Kingy.
Yep.
12, the Chief. Who was one with Scotty? He's 12. Nick Riewoldt at 11. The top three, Luke Hodge.
Hodgey.
At number 3. This is according to the readers. Number 2 is Lordo, Matthew Lloyd.
Okay.
And number 1? Lee Matthews.
Well, it's not me, but I'll take Lee.
Yeah. So that's fair enough, I would have thought.
Something.
Yeah. So Lethal Lee.
Do you think maybe within the next couple of days I do a top 5 or 15 journalists?
Yes, I'd love
AFL
that.
AFL journalists.
Well, I don't know what they're going to do tomorrow.
Because I tell you, it wouldn't be on my bloody list.
Who?
Scotty. You can go jam it.
I've been at the races with him the last 2 Saturdays.
Well, that's why I haven't got a look in.
Yeah, exactly.
Bad man.
I thought I might have. Do I do specials anymore?
No.
You don't.
The comments that come out of your mouth are arguably special.
Special.
But they're not so much special comments.
Yeah. So, well done, Lethal. I do like listening to him. Good to see Linger up there.
Think
Rui.
We discovered, unfortunately, why you didn't make Scotty's list.
Okay. Why?
I'm not sure if you've seen the fixture change for tomorrow, Baz.
Yes.
Gold Coast Essendon moved down there. It's the shortest ever gaps between games at Cadinia Park being 44 days. The previous closest to that was 10,177 back in 1993.
Absolutely butchered that. Please, I see Daisy a lot on social being highlighted with all the good things he does for Triple M. Please cut that 15 seconds up. And if anyone can make any sense of what he just said, I will stand nude in the boardroom at Triple M.
Official retraction, Scotty Gullen, you got completely right.
What were you trying to do there?
I was trying to. We were calling some game. I think it was your Cats v North Melbourne, and it was arguably the crappiest game you'll ever see. There was nothing happening.
Yep.
So we just started rolling off stats.
Yeah.
And I didn't get any good ones.
You were trying to outstat one another.
Yeah, it was a stat off. And I didn't get any good ones from any of our statisticians, including Ethan.
Yeah.
So I went to Sir Swamp Thing, a man I follow, does all the Channel 7. And he had this long, convoluted thing that's hard to read.
You tried to say.
I absolutely butchered it. And that was probably the highlight of the day. So unfortunately, Scotty got it right and Daisy got it wrong.
I haven't got anything else, have we?
Raps? Oh, sure. Oh, there, man, heaps. I made one mistake in, what have I been doing this, 3 years?
Just one mistake.
One mistake. Right. Otherwise perfect.
Oh. He's made up a few words like dynamicism.
No,
or whatever
it is. I stole that from Joey Montagna, dynamicism, and then he jumped back on me and said that's a made-up word after I stole it from him.
Sounds like a made-up
word. Yeah, it certainly is. Anyway, I'm very good.
Marcus next. Little Marcus.
Catch me on Triple M all footy season.
Saw him at the birdcage.
Get me up the votes next year.
Apparently he saw you at the birdcage too, Bill.
Who did? Marcus.
Marcus.
Let's ask
one of your well wishes.
Yes, please.
Bewhittled.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I have the belief that we provide enough eye candy.
JB Billy with Daisy Thomas. This is Triple M's Rush Hour. And right now we're joined by good friend of the show and member for the squad, the test squad for the upcoming series against the Windies and South Africa, Marcus Harris.
Our next guest has been piling on the runs in state cricket.
Harris is driving and he's reaching his century in style.
And now he's earned a spot in the Aussie test squad to take on the West Indies. Please welcome Marcus Harris.
Absolutely, Bill. Welcome, Marcus Harris. Yes. Arguably the most informed batsman in the country at the minute.
No doubt about that.
Harry, congratulations on your appointment.
Thank you, fellas.
Hey, that's good. Harry, was it a surprise or who rings you and tells you?
Yeah, it was a surprise a little bit, Bill. George Bailey rang me yesterday. So there's some like Australia A games come up as well. So I thought he was ringing about that. But when he said that I was in the test squad, yeah, it was a nice surprise to get.
Because as Daisy said, you have a look at it. Warner and Khawaja obviously in there, but not going that well. Khawaja's struggling at Shield, whereas our man's just knocking up runs in Sheffield Shield and Marsh Cup. And then a few of the other boys are just struggling, so we're not breasting the line at the minute, Harry.
What? Well,
do you know what that
means? It's a long season. Yeah, nice, Bill. Yeah. I can't see myself playing in the first test, but it's just good to be in the squad and sort of be in the selector's mind. So I think all those guys that you've mentioned have done really well in the last 12 months in test cricket. So they've afforded the right to obviously start the summer.
Don't discount what he did in county cricket as well, Bill. Who was he playing for?
Over there, one of the county sides.
No, who was it?
Can you say it?
Yeah.
Go.
It's near Worcestershire, isn't it?
No, well, you've done well to get that out. Not far. A bit further south.
Have a go.
Gloucestershire.
Yeah,
how do you say it?
Gloucestershire.
Oh, that is it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's
close.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 9 matches over there, 726 runs. Daisy at what? What does that equal?
Oh, 42.69 or just above.
Oh, nice. You're in some form, Harry.
Yeah, not too bad.
It must be nice, though, coming into a big season, big summer of cricket, being in good touch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is good. Like, obviously playing so much cricket throughout the year, you're going to have ebbs and flows in form, but it is good to sort of be hitting the straps at the right sort of time. And it's been good this year without all the hubs and stuff. You can sort of play some consecutive games, whereas last year we'd sort of play one game and then, you know, weren't too sure where we're going and what we're doing. So that's been good, and hopefully it's better for the summer as well.
So two tests against the West Indies, which are in Perth and Adelaide, and then the South Africans, who they've got a good bowling lineup, haven't they, little Harry?
Yeah, they've got a very good bowling attack. Norkia is probably the quickest bowler in the world behind probably Starkey and Mark Wood.
Yep.
And they've got Rabada and Ngidi. So
who's the left armer, the kid?
Marco Jansen.
Yeah, Marco.
Who's about 12 foot 100. So, they've got a very good attack. But also the West Indians have always got some good fast bowlers as well to keep an eye out for. So it'll be a good challenge this summer.
Who do you like at the West Indies, Dave?
I like Azhari Joseph. He's quick, deceptively quick by the looks of it.
Mm.
Yeah, they all look pretty quick. I haven't really seen much of the West Indians like in the last couple of years, but like I said, they've always got a bit of flair and you never know what they can do. They've always got those sort of blokes who come out and play an amazing innings or bowl an amazing spell, so they're a dangerous team.
How do the nerves go, though, when you do have to walk out at a big game and you know that the bloke at the other end's 40 paces back coming in and trying to genuinely knock your scone off?
Yeah, you've got to have your wits about you. You're always going to get your head blown off on TV. So I'd like to think by the time you've got to test cricket, you're probably prepared enough for it.
It's a fair point.
So it's not too much of the unknown, but
surprises us a bit. Surprise. Hey? When we talk to you, surprises that you can got reactions and you can face those fast bowlers. Because
what are you trying to say?
Well, you're not going to launch any rockets, are you, really, Marcus?
That's a bit rich.
I tell you where he was in form, Daisy.
Was.
Oh, the birdcage on Saturday. You should have seen him.
He's swanning around with you, was he?
No, swanning around. I saw him there with his beautiful partner, Kat, by the way. But he's got the glasses on and walking around the birdcage. Oh, take the glass. What do you got the sunnies on for?
I saw you playing tongue hockey with some younger bird.
Spied in the birdcage bins.
What is tongue hockey?
After a few of those, after a few of the mums, you just lose your eyes a bit. So you got to whack the sunnies on.
Oh, so that's where you're in the mum marquee, were we?
Yeah, I was in there. So it was a very good afternoon.
Did you get a winner?
Yeah, we got a couple. So what I do when we go to the races, like I only go once a year, but I always take Kat with me.
Yep.
So I just get some money out the start of the day and I just say, rightio, find some horses that you like, just the name.
Yeah.
And I put money on them. So she picked an 8-1 winner in the first race.
Oh, nice.
And then she got alligator blood later in the day. So we ended up walking out up. So that was good.
That's a good win.
Arguably the only way to find a winner there. What about the Gage? You'll be playing again there if you get the opportunity. See, they've just signed Andre Russell.
Big D Russ.
Yeah, absolutely. Like with being in the picked in a test squad now, it's a bit of the unknown with all that stuff. But, it's brilliant to get someone like Andre Russell, where I think everyone was surprised he didn't get picked up in the draft. But to have someone of his calibre, you know, I'm not sure how many games he's playing. I'm not sure he's playing a lot of games, but to have him for a handful of games at least, hopefully brings a few more people back into the stadiums for the BBL.
By the way, speaking of the Melbourne Renegades, you can grab your memberships and tickets. They're on sale now with 2-game memberships starting at just $65 for adults, $20 for kids, and $120 for families. Call 1-300-RENEGADES or head to the website for details. I think Dre Russ is playing four games for the Gades.
Yes, Liam Livingston, who hits it beautifully, is on test duty for England. Hey, also, well done, Scott Boland, by the way. Oh, we've forgotten about poor Scotty, but he's been named in this squad. It's only a 13-man squad. Is that a skinny squad or is that about it?
No, well, they got bigger because of COVID and everything that went with that. But now that all the borders are open and people can sort of move around, I assume they'll just go back to having the normal 13. And it was sort of good in those bigger squads because you'd end up having like 5 or 6 blokes that could help you run drinks and do all sorts. So now it's more than likely going to be me and Big Bazza, and Big Bazza's hopeless at running drinks. So probably
not bad replacements, though, Bill. As we say, Marcus in red hot touch, and Boland comes off 6 for 7 at the G on debut.
Can you still remember that? That was unbelievable.
I can. Incredible.
What were you doing, Harry, when he took 6 for 7?
Fielding at square leg.
Oh, you're playing, right? Could you believe it? Like, just a wicket would fall every second or third ball. It was unbelievable.
That's probably my favourite game of cricket ever, so that was great.
All right, Harry, we'll let you go.
Yeah, we certainly will. All the best with the upcoming series, mate. Congratulations again, and hopefully the runs keep piling up for you.
No worries. Thank you, fellas.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Two rights don't make a wrong.
No, they don't, so you're the only wrong one.
National treasure, Ash Barty.
Our next guest is a 3-time Grand Slam singles champion and produced one of the sporting moments of 2022 by winning the Australian Open.
A destiny is fulfilled. And maybe, guys, this was written in the stars. Maybe this was always meant to be from the moment she picked up a racket.
Now she's written a book about her amazing journey. Please welcome Ash Barty.
Very rarely do you find a champion, Bill, as likeable, down-to-earth, humble, scandal-free person here we speak to. Ash Barty, thank you very much for joining us on the Rush Hour.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
Oh, we're well. Magnificent. How are you after your big night in Geelong last night, Ash? Tell me, how was the great stadium down there? Did you love it, the lights, and just the city itself?
It is. It's enemy territory for me. I'm not sure how I felt about it. But no, all in all, so far, it's been a cracking tour to go on and talk about my journey, talk about my book, let some people in for a lot of the stuff that I probably kept pretty guarded over the years. So it's been a lot of fun so far.
Absolutely. Some of the stuff we're reading in the book, a lot of it about your husband. You got married in July this year. He was a trainee pro golfer. That's how you met?
Yeah, yeah. Actually met Gary at the local golf club at home. And yeah, I was obviously down there a little bit. He spends most of his days down there. So yeah, certainly nice to have something in common. But he didn't know a thing about tennis, still doesn't now, which is great. So it's never on the TV at home, not in the house. It's kind of, it almost feels like it's a house. It's never, you know, our home has never seen a tennis court. It's brilliant.
Was that one of the biggest attractions to him, that he had no idea about who you were essentially apart from the person he saw right in front of him?
Yeah, I think at the start it was probably something that I was quite keen on, in a sense, knowing that we got to know each other for me as me and him as him and not for anything else, which is great.
So if I walk into your house, Ash, is there any memorabilia? Have you got the Wimbledon Cup?
I think it is. I'll tell you what. There's
what do you win?
The dish.
The green jacket or something. What do you win?
The plate. Well, I'll tell you what. There is plenty of memorabilia, but none of it is tennis. We've got a bit of cricket stuff in there.
Yeah.
Plenty of EPL stuff. It's a house. It's a sporting house, no doubt, but not one bit of tennis. We're flat out having a box of tennis balls for our dog.
That's unreal, because there's a couple of things that us Aussies love about you, Ash. Now, I don't know if they're true or not, but let's go with them, all right? So the time you had a beer when it was Richmond-Brisbane, I reckon, at the Gabba,
yes,
and the Tigers, you who you barrack for, and you're sitting up in the stand having a frothy. Everyone loved that. That was good.
Just one time, I promise. It's the only time it's happened.
Rubbish. How many did you have that night?
Actually, I probably had two or three that night, but you know, all in moderation, so it was good fun.
That's all right. And then the little photo we see of you when you win a tournament when you're five or six with that little trophy, everyone loves that.
Yeah, that one, that photo still mind-boggling to me. It's become a part of my life, whether I like it or not. And to this day, I've got no idea who put it out on the internet. And once it was there, it was gone forever.
And the other one I heard about you, you're from Ipswich, which is up there somewhere, Daisy.
Up there somewhere.
Yeah, up near Queensland. But you go down
Queensland
to the local shopping centre, one, because it's got aircon there and you can sit there, but you sit in the food court and talk to everyone. Is that true?
I don't know where you're getting that from. That's a stitch-up.
Oh, Robert Craddock told me that.
No, I mean, I'm an old person. I don't know. I go and do my groceries. I'm hungry. I go to the food court, but I don't sit there on a Tuesday afternoon and chew the fat with everyone I see. I don't know.
There's the difference between you and Bill, who's just down there at Warren Pond signing anyone and everything. You speak about your love for other sports. What about your friendship with Trent Cotchin?
Oh,
yeah, Cotch is a legend. I think Cotch and I probably came together at a time in my life when I was quite young and, in a way, almost was curious to know about his journey. And it's kind of what started off as a bit of a professional questioning, I suppose, in curiosity, just has blossomed into a relationship. I mean, Koch is a brilliant man. His family's gorgeous and they've completely let me in. He's like a big brother to me. He's a very, very good guy. I'm very lucky to call him a mate and know that I can just flick him a message or call him whenever I need someone to pull me into line, I suppose.
There's a quote I read, Bill, that says he's an exceptional human being with a great sense of knowing when I need a mate, a coffee or a text.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just a good friend.
Nice. Have you got one like that?
Yeah.
I've got a hab dog, but he's not the same.
No. How good at cricket are you? Because I love my cricket and you seem to, you know, just take it up and you're batting beautifully.
Oh, I'm a battler. We'll call it that. I'm very good at backyard cricket. There you go. That's the answer you're after.
Because that's the other thing. Your nickname, backyard.
Backyard.
Party.
I'm not sure where you're going here, Bill. This is. No, I love it.
No, the backyard party, as in the barbecue.
What? No, never heard that one.
Now, Ash, before you run away.
Before she hangs up.
Yeah, before you just hang on the line, and we'll be back after this.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Old number twos.
Number two.
We're joined by Ash Barty, whose new book, My Dream Time, a memoir of tennis and teamwork, is out right now online and in good bookstores.
Were you going with Barty Party? We've heard that.
Yeah, I don't know.
No.
But teamwork. Now, I'm going to try and be sensible here. The teamwork. Tell us about that, how important that is, and how many do you have on tour? Because obviously we play footy and you need teamwork. Everyone's got to be on the same page, very much the same as tennis.
Yeah, it is. I made a conscious effort probably in the second phase of my career to make it more of a team and probably have the accountability on myself to surround myself with the people that I kind of wanted to, and give it time. We could have had, particularly in Australia, it was probably more busy with friends and family and a few more people that could just kind of zip on a plane and come down to Melbourne instead of traveling halfway across the globe. But week to week, it was really only my coach and maybe my physio with me. My coach and I were pretty much with each other 40-45 weeks a year. Jeez. Not too much separation there. Wow. Lucky Tyres was a good guy and I got on with him all right off the court. But wow. Yeah, I think my team would probably be anywhere from 6 to 12 on a very, very full day.
Mm.
But typically it was just Tyres and I on the road with my physio probably about 50% of the time.
What did you miss? What did you miss the most when you're away for that long?
I think I probably just miss the simple things, being at home. Just the Australian lifestyle is obviously very different to all the different cultures around the world. And, you know, as a Queenslander, I love to get up early in the morning. I love to go for a walk and get my coffee. And probably in some cities in the world, I wasn't able to do that. That's kind of the simple stuff.
The shopping centre.
Yeah, where I meet all my friends.
Your own box that you have at the tennis there, full of your crew as you talk about your team there. We see Nick Kyrgios a lot going berserk at his. What do you draw from your team on game day?
I barely look at them, to be honest. For me, all of our work and preparation is done in the training, the conversations and the planning tactically that I have with my coach is all done. So it's about me then going out there and trying to execute and trying to have fun with it. And often if I'm looking to my box, it's for like almost a nod of reassurance, if anything else, and just kind of give them a very small fist pump. I wasn't one to really express too much on court, but yeah, I didn't give it much. I think they could have been asleep half the time and I wouldn't have known.
So, a couple of big heads in here. You probably worked that out, Ash. We're talking to Ash Barty, by the way. Are you or were you comfortable with the media and with the fans and all that?
Yes and no. I think pretty early on I understood that it was part and parcel, and kind of understanding that that's kind of part of the job.
Yep.
But also I was very appreciative that so many people were interested in my career and kind of followed along. So I felt very grateful that so many people were watching along and cheering for me as much as I tried to at times take, you know, water off a duck's back. You kind of just roll with it. But I also really enjoyed and loved the fact that so many people were interested and going along with the ride with me.
Well, they loved it. They certainly did.
Absolutely. Universally, Australia-wide, you call it whatever you want, Bill. You and I are not too dissimilar, though, Ash. We both went out at the very peak of our powers, had lots more to give.
No, Ash did. You were stuffed.
Have you? That was a joke, Bill.
Oh.
Have you had any regrets yet? Have you ever had that thought of what if yet, or is it still too soon?
No, not at all. I think probably the night before we put the video out, I was like, wow, should I really be doing this?
Yeah.
But by then it was too late and I was like, all right, crack on, let's go. But no, I think I get asked a lot about the word regret. And I think for me, it's more about fulfillment. I know that for my tennis career and my tennis journey, I had so much fulfillment and now I'm excited about what comes next. It's not about searching for more or searching for what I was missing or may have missed out on. Now it's about enjoying what can come next and finding that curiosity and still growing and learning as a person. Because I tell you what, I had a hell of an athlete, a hell of a journey as an athlete, and couldn't be more grateful for everything that I got to experience.
So is it in the book? What is next? Should we buy it? Probably read it. It'd be good.
Probably should buy it.
There's some good baby photos in there that might get the world again.
The one with the trophy. That's the one I want.
But it was such an enjoyable experience. I think, like I said, a lot of what we speak about in the book was what my team and I kept very guarded for a long time, and I almost felt like it was not a responsibility, but an opportunity to let the people in that supported me so much. And so many people watched every single match that I played and were there in the stands. And it's just kind of my token of appreciation to them to let them in to kind of some of the behind-the-scenes stuff and what really went on when I wasn't on the court.
Oh, good. And you got a couple other books. What are these? Little Ashes. What are these ones?
They were so much fun. I tell you what, we based them loosely on my experiences as a kid, and each book has a bit of a different theme on some lessons learned. But so much fun. My best mate in the book, James, is genuinely my best mate from kindy. I didn't tell him I was doing it. I just sent him one. They ended up on his doorstep, and he was like, "Oh, okay, we made it."
Good.
But a lot of fun. My 6-year-old niece, Lucy, was the very first to read them, and I'll tell you what, she was very honest with some feedback. So back to the drawing board, and this was the end result. So good stuff.
Yeah, how good is that?
That's going to be brilliant.
Where do we buy this book?
Anywhere, any good bookstores. I'm told they're floating around everywhere. So it's all in good fun, and I hope that everyone that does pick one up genuinely enjoys it and gets a smile reading it, because it brought back some pretty good memories when I was writing it.
The most pressing question, how's your golf game at the minute?
Oh.
The handicap's going out, which is brilliant. I'm a weekend hacker and need a couple more shots. So when you rock up about 5 minutes before your tee time on a Saturday morning, I think that extra shot or two is helpful.
Ash Barty will be playing for cash in the near future.
What are you
She'll
off?
Be taking $50
the bush
from
ranger.
Every. Absolutely.
I'm determined to be a burglar.
Yeah, you certainly will be. No, we love that. We thank you very much for your time. We wish you all the very best with not only the book and the signings and everything that is coming with that, but all the best with what's to come in the future as well.
Great. Thank you so much, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Ash.
Ash Barty on the Rush Hour. Make sure you grab book 5 and book 6 of the Little Ash series. It's a perfect Christmas gift for the kiddies. And grab yourself My Dream Time, a memoir of tennis and teamwork from Ash Barty. It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Look at him. He's now in the fetal position because he knows how appalling that is.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
No surprise the ratings going through the roof, Bill. Every time I look at the sheet for what's coming up on the next day, blown away.
So tomorrow, who have we got?
Well, tomorrow, Adam Gilchrist.
Oh, gilly, superstar. Gilly, gilly.
You betcha. Yep. Jay-Z will be in to talk all things footy.
Still plenty of footy news.
And it wouldn't be Wednesday without a hump day quiz.
Oh, yes. Very good prizes. Very good quiz, that one.
Absolutely. But now it's time for this.
I have a joke.
This is Billy's joke. Maz Group, delivering quality, trust and innovation in construction and proudly trained by Trade Institute Victoria. tiv.vic.edu.au.
What did we have yesterday? Some plump boumois. Oh, so we're on fire.
Yes. For a hat trick, not for the joke, though.
No.
The joke was poo-poo.
Well, Sid's gave me that silly joke, so I'll start with another silly one. What did the Dalmatian say after lunch?
Not sure.
That hit the spot. That's a nice entree.
Far out.
Marcus gave me that one.
Come on, Marcus. Don't drag him into it. What's the opposite of going from strength to strength?
Hey, here's me joke, but you ready?
Yes.
I was at the bar last night down the bot there, and the waitress screamed, "Does anyone know CPR?" I said, "I know the whole bloody alphabet." Everyone laughed, of course. They were laughing, carried on, except for this one bloke.
It's just crap. They've just been horrible.
Except for this one bloke.
Yeah, I get
what
it.
What happened
yeah,
to him?
Well, he was needed a bit of help.
There's only one option, Rats.
Nah, it's our final.
Rats, this is charity. Not bad.
Not great either. That's not bad.
How good's the pot on a summer's night, though? Even a spring one.
Oh, yeah. A couple of waters. Salad. Dalmatian one went well.
Yeah, that's good.
Which spot did it hit?
Ooh. Scary. You are the king of the...